Have we modeled repentance enough that when they do go out and blow it, that they know the pathway back to Jesus? Mm.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
Today we have a special guest with us, singer-songwriter, mother of four, Laura Story. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
This makes me so happy. Like, for so many reasons. Hanging out with moms.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Awesome. But also, what a great idea. Moms need all of the encouragement that that we can get, you know? Yeah. I just love that y'all are taking time to pour into moms.
I'm just like here to like soak it all in myself because I'm the new mom. So my daughter's only two and I'm like gleaning experience from everyone who has children that are older than me, like Kate and like you, Laura.
So Kate, how old are your kids?
So, well, I have a blended family. So we have everything in our house from 12 to 22 now because my husband had twin daughters. And so they are 22 and at Liberty University, actually.
Oh,
and
fun.
Then I have three. My son is 16. My daughter is 14. And my youngest son is 12.
So. But you don't have anybody peeing their pants.
Though. Nobody peeing their pants.
Everyone's peeing their pants in my house.
Peeing your pants party in my house.
That makes me feel better because started potty training. And so the struggle is real for me. And I'm just like, how do I be patient in this moment and like show her grace and also be like, this is like just something you have to learn. It's not going to happen overnight.
That's a great question. When you figure that out, I'm sure that all the moms want to know.
Well, I think, so the potty training thing, like, I think for me, all three of my kids potty trained at different stages. I had it in my head that, like, it was going to be done by two, and it was going to be perfect, and it was going to be awesome. Nope, all three of them had it. Like, I was convinced Christian, my oldest, was going to go to college in diapers. That's how bad it was. I was like, what is going on? But he finally figured it out, but he was, like, four and a half, I think, by the time he finally potty trained.
Better.
And then Elena, she was my quickest by like 18 months. She was like, nope, not doing it anymore. And then Aiden pretty much potty trained himself. Literally, the kid decided, and he put on his big boy pants and then like never had an accident. And he was
three.
That's
amazing.
That's amazing. Unbelievable. He should
super
give
weird.
Classes.
Right?
I know. Really should.
How to potty
he
train.
He really should start his own podcast. For other children.
Yes. So we talk a lot about like praising God and being close to him during the storms in life. And I feel like for me, that's easy because I'm going through it. I'm like, God, I need you. But like, what do you do in times of joy and peace to like stay connected to God during those times of joy and instead of just being like, oh, everything's great, see you later.
Yeah, I'd say it's like the times of joy are wonderful, but you, when you're usually coming, you get to the mountaintop because you're coming out of the valley, and as you're looking over the mountaintop, you see the next valley. So it's like just some perspective here, because it's usually a pretty quick moment. But the truth is in even in the hardest seasons, there is so much to give thanks for. I know that sounds like the thing that, you know, all the really spiritual people say. But it's something, especially as a mom, that I've learned not only that I need to believe, but I also need to model. Because, and here's the cool thing. I learned this during, you know, that wonderful COVID quarantine.
Oh, yeah, fun.
Yes. I realized, because of the age of my children during that time, what they would remember from the COVID lockdown was not the COVID lockdown. What they would remember is how I responded to the COVID lockdown.
So good.
And that, it was very clear to me then, but it really is, it's the same for the things that we go through. Husband losing his job, you know, how the parents respond to things like that. Are we going to wring our hands or are we going to actually live out the faith? We think, if I send my kid to enough Sunday school,
right.
If I, you know, listen to the right songs,
Open
music.
The head and dump it in, right?
Exactly.
That's how we want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. But it really is. I think that the faith moments they remember the most is when they see us giving thanks in the good moments, giving all the glory to God in the good moments, and trusting God in the hard moments.
Yeah. Which is so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so easy to say, yeah, I'm going to trust you right now. But when your feet are to the fire, that looks totally different.
Yeah, but that's the cool thing is you don't have to do it in like a fake way. Like, oh, I know the car's broken down on the side of the road, but we're just going to sing. Like, we're just going to sing some praise songs. But rather saying to them, like, this is so frustrating. And this really is disappointing. And we're going to miss that birthday party. And not only are you sad, I'm really sad because this day has gone completely different than I thought. And so being honest and about the sadness, but saying, you know, I'm going to continue to trust God. And we're going to take a moment to pray for, you know, this engine to start up, for the tow truck to come, or for us to be open to what God has in this day, even though it looks different than we expected.
What a gift to be able to gift that to our kids, though, to show them that it's important to be vulnerable. It's important to be transparent. Mm-hmm. It's important to feel your feelings and, like, everything that's happening in that moment. Yeah.
When you think about the Psalms, I always love the book of Psalms, and I always go back to it because I feel like it's the book of the Bible where David gives us permission to feel.
Yes.
And even, like, to say, like, crazy stuff. He'd say, like, Lord, I feel like you've forgotten me. Mm-hmm. It's like this bad Facebook rant. Right. It's like, Lord, you forgot, you know. And I love that in God's wisdom and sovereignty, he actually left that in. That he said, hey, this is going to be really important for my children to know how to be honest with how they're feeling.
I love that. And like, how do we as moms, because we don't really get a lot of time to ourselves, what are some
I've noticed that.
Yeah, ways that we can like try and fill up our cups so that we can like pour out into our kids? Like maybe some small, like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I just need a minute and I just like have to walk out, but I like can't leave her by herself because mine's two. So I'm like, what are some things that I need to be intentionally doing so that I have the, you know, capacity to deal with these frustrating moments?
Oh golly, I have so many thoughts on this. One thing I discovered kind of halfway through, like, kind of parenting my littles, having music playing in my home does so much to kind of set the spiritual thermostat.
Yes.
You know, you hear about this thermostat versus thermometer, like, and it's so true, because when I am like charged up, the whole house is tense. Mm-hmm. When I'm frustrated, the whole house is tense. And so I think, okay, what are ways that I can calm down so that our house will be a little more calm? And even what you said about, I have a 2-year-old. What am I going to do? But I do think there is some legitimacy to finding a good little plastic toy for them to hand them, put them in their crib, and take the 3 minutes that you need to just step away, even if they're screaming their head off.
Yeah.
You step, you know, no kid ever died crying for 5 minutes.
That's true.
No one died from that.
Yeah.
And you getting in a good frame of mind, and not to put too much pressure on moms, but it really is how we respond to situations that make our children, like when I'm anxious, everyone in the family's anxious.
So that brings up a good point. So not to put too much pressure on moms.
Yes.
How do we shoulder that then?
Because
we're aware that, like, what you said is exactly true. Like, by my temperature that I'm setting for everyone else, that thermostat setting that you were talking about, it really does change
the
dynamics.
You know, you've heard the verse, you know, his mercies are new every morning. I like to think of it, his mercies are new every minute.
Yes.
Of every morning. I saw something. It was a picture of the sweet little dinosaur in Toy Story.
Oh.
And it was like the mom that I planned on being today. And then it was like 5 minutes later, the mom I actually was. And it's from Jurassic Park. It's like ripping stuff apart.
Yeah.
And I will go there within like the first 30 minutes of all of us being awake. I will go from having like the sweetest quiet time with the Lord to like ripping a kid's head off. And I say it joking, but just the other day I used words towards my child that I was ashamed of, that would wound if it weren't for my, and might wound.
Yeah.
But my belief in the fact that his mercies are new every morning, and to hold him and say, oh man, mommy blew it today.
Yeah.
I am so glad that we both have a gracious God, you know, because you probably shouldn't have thrown, you know, your applesauce on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, we've both done some things that we regret this morning, but we can both run to Jesus together.
Yeah, that's huge. I think that ability to show our kids, hey, I did something wrong too. Because I think the temptation as adults sometimes is to expect this perfection out of our kids. And then when you think back to being a child yourself, you're like, I was like terrified that I was going to do the wrong thing, you know, or I did the wrong thing because you don't know better.
Like, that's what I try to remember with her. I'm like, she's two. She doesn't know. And sometimes, like the other day, we were eating dinner and she was drinking water out of like an actual cup. And I was so proud of her. Well, mommy knocked it over and she started to cry and she started to say she was sorry. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. Aww. I did this. Yeah. This is my fault. And I think, like you said, just taking ownership over like when we make mistakes gives them the ability to be like, oh, hey, I also made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for how I treated you, and just modeling that for them.
Yeah. And even you think about, I mean, golly, I was not the perfect kid. I think about the teenager that I was, college.
My mama has scars on her knees.
And I think about with my kids, you know, I've been like, I want so much to model the perfect Christian woman for my daughter. I think that maybe the bigger question, and not that it's, you know, we need to model our faith to our kids because that's how they get it. Right. It's not just the stuff we're yapping about. Absolutely. It's the things we're living out. But have we modeled repentance enough that when they do go out and blow it, that they know the pathway back to Jesus? Mm. And it's not like this uphill pathway.
Yeah.
It's, Lord, I'm sorry. And his grace is sufficient for every mistake, whether our kids make bigger or less or smaller mistakes than we did. Will my kids remember how to get back to Jesus because I've talked to them enough about his grace?
I remember having a conversation with one of my kids who had made a not great decision, and there were consequences attached to that not great decision. And you know, they were really struggling with like giving themselves permission to be okay after after said event was over. And I was like, you know, grace looks a lot more like an escalator than it does a ladder sometimes.
Ooh,
like, we're not called to
whoever's listening should be writing that down.
Make a note.
So we're not called to have to struggle from rung to rung to rung on this high ladder. Yeah. God gives us the grace and he says, just step on and I'm going to carry you the rest of the way. And for whatever reason, that was in my head and that's what stuck. And we've come back to those escalator moments over and over, but I've needed those escalator moments as a mom too. So
I love that. Just step on.
But I even love what you said about, you know, there were some decisions and there were some consequences.
Yeah.
And grace doesn't mean that those consequences
100%
always,
right.
And that's not even good parenting to help those consequences disappear. But there's still grace. There's still that restored relationship with you and your child and with the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I got one more lighthearted question. Fairtrade wants to know what snack that you snuck into the Grammys.
Oh my gracious. Okay. So here's the amazing story. I wrote the song Blessings, and it was about, you know, my husband's health struggle, and part of that was our struggle with infertility, and we ended up getting able to get pregnant with Josie after like 7 years. Pregnant with Josie, and I just strangely enough was nominated for a Grammy. It's never happened before, never happened since. And anyway, so we are, my husband and I were like, well, do we go? I mean, maybe. And I actually, crazy enough, it was on a Sunday night and I was in California like an hour away, already booked that Friday night.
Perfect.
So
it
was like, oh, we're staying over.
we're going.
My first trimester, I'm sick as a dog. And I'm just picturing myself just barfing at the Grammys,
you know? That'll be the headline.
Exactly. They usually don't cover like the Christian.
No, they don't.
But in that scenario, I'm pretty sure they would have made an exception. And so I, you know, I'm not thinking about, you know, what do I wear? What, you know, like, all I'm thinking is, what will there be food? Will there be food at the Grammys? And we had
like
to be
every
there.
Good pregnant woman should,
right?
Exactly. And we were the show, like the big show, the televised is at 8. The pre-show is at 5. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get there at 4. And I was like, I'm doing the math here. And I'm like, there's no way I can go that long without food.
Right.
So we went by Subway, and I got a foot-long sub.
What kind, though? You got to tell. What kind of foot-long sub?
I think it's the Italian.
See, that makes a difference.
I was like, she's bringing tuna into the Grammys. We got to watch that.
You know that whole thing about, like, you're not supposed to eat deli meat when you're pregnant? Yeah. We just didn't worry about that. It was an emergency. It was a Grammy emergency. If you can picture me in my seat, just leaning down and
you taking, sticking like a purse?
Yeah, just like a
That's
big,
awesome.
Big purse. And just taking little bites. And I know that there were probably people there that were like, wow, she
They're like, who is this crazy lady?
Exactly. She does not belong here.
Hey, look, you're taking care of your baby, and that's what was important.
So I ended up actually winning the Grammy, and I'm just glad that my mouth wasn't full. Like, I'd like to thank Subway.
That would have been the ultimate shout out if you had thanked Subway in your thank you
for getting me through this moment.
Oh,
that's hilarious. Awesome. So Subway, if you're listening, maybe you need to name a sandwich after Laura's story.
So. I know. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciate it.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.